very much for being prompt and on time. So this is the time and place. This is item number This is item number three. This is a resolution, number R1-2017-0012, clarifying the North Coast Regional Water Board's position on the public nature of documents held or maintained by the approved third-party program associated with the waste waiver of waste discharge requirements and general water quality certification and monitoring and reporting program for discharges of waste resulting from cannabis cultivation and associated activities and operations with similar environmental effects in the North Coast region. Good morning, Mr. Jones.
Good morning. Good morning, Chairman Norrie, members of the board. My name is Josh Curtis. I'm your Planning, Stewardship, and Compliance Assurance Division Chief. I'm going to be presenting on the proposed resolution, R1-2017-0012. Case and Grady is available as well. I'm going to be giving the presentation, but if there are specific technical questions that come up about the program, I might pull him up to answer some of those. And we're trying to make this work. Okay.
Is he on the audio? It's not sounding like, is it being recorded? Are you picking it up? I don't think your mic is on.
It's on.
Tap on that.
It's coming through.
Sorry, I'll try to speak louder. See if that works. So as you all know, the regional board adopted a waiver of waste discharge requirement for cannabis cultivation in August of 2015. That order provided for the approval and use of third-party programs to assist in order implementation, specifically with order enrollment and compliance assistance. We currently have four approved third-party programs at the regional board, and others are in process of review. Okay, good, that's working. When the order was developed, there was a good number of public comments and concerns that came through about privacy and about information being held at the regional board, personally identifiable information being held at the regional board. And so when the first four third-party programs were developed, they were developed with the ability for dischargers to be enrolled in the regional board through a unique identifier. And so the third-party program would keep all the pertinent documents for enrollment. They would help the discharger develop them. And then they would enroll with the fee through the regional board using a unique identifier. So we wouldn't know specifically the person or parcel number for that. We would know the sub-watershed in which they were enrolled. That information was given to us. We've always maintained the ability to request those documents, and that's part of those programs as well. We can, you know, request any specific document that we need, and that the third parties must provide them to us. A little tricky. So since the order was adopted, there's, as everyone knows, the regulatory landscape for cannabis has changed dramatically. The Medical Cannabis Regulation and Safety Act was passed in 2015. The Adult Use of Marijuana Act was passed in 2016. Let me just make sure I'm following my notes. Both of those acts have essentially made both medical and recreational cannabis legal in California. And they've created a number of steps that both local jurisdictions and the state are doing to move out the regulatory process for cannabis. And the ones that really are most impacting this resolution are the local jurisdictions can create their own ordinances to license cultivation in different counties and local jurisdictions. You're going to hear a lot more about that in the next item, where Casey and Grady and Connor McEntee are going to be providing an update on kind of where all the counties are in their ordinance development. And then any cultivator in California is going to have to be licensed by the California Department of Food and Agriculture as well. Those are both public processes. Those licensing documentations are going to be public and available through PRA requests and available to the public. And so that process is moving ahead beyond the outside of the regional board's auspices. Additionally, there's been some recent legal legal cases that have come before the state board and the regional board that have essentially clarified that other third-party programs, that pertinent documents maintained in those third-party programs that are used for order implementation are considered public documents. And so we are bringing this resolution before you to do a few things, but I think it needs to be mentioned that there's some things it does not do. And the first thing is that it doesn't alter the order in any way, shape, or form. The order doesn't mention one way or the other whether documents are public. It is neutral in tone on that. It doesn't. So the order itself remains intact. There's no alterations to that through this resolution. It doesn't change or affect any law or regulation that's currently on the books. It has no impact on any other law or regulation. It simply clarifies that the regional board is and our process are going to be considering pertinent documents for order implementation as public documents. And the benefit of that is really, it's multifold, but twofold specifically. One, it aligns those processes with the California Public Records Act, which is a requirement of us. And it further aligns it with the regional board's desire to be transparent to the public. So the resolution is fairly simple. It does two main things. The first one is it lists out the pertinent documents that we're talking about, what types of documents we're saying are public records, and they're basically documents that are required for implementation of our order. It includes the notice of intent, water resource protection plan, annual monitoring reports, things of that nature. It should be noted that the things that it doesn't include would be a contract between the discharger and the third-party program, right? That's not a requirement of our order. It doesn't affect our implementation. That would not be considered a public document. Communication between the discharger and the third-party that isn't in a way required by our implementation of our order, those aren't considered public records. So the second thing that it does is currently notice of intents when sent to the third party are held at the third party. They don't come to us directly. Individual dischargers who enroll with the Regional Water Board, they send their notice of intent to enroll directly to us with their fee. And so we get information such as their parcel number, discharger name, things of that sort. If it goes through the third party, currently that information stays with the third party unless we request it directly. So the other part of the resolution essentially says that for any future third-party program that's approved, that approval must require them to automatically provide the notice of intent to the regional board as part of their standard enrollment process. For the four approved third parties already, they've spent a good amount of time designing their process to create a system where they come up with a unique ID and they send us that unique ID. And so to give them a little while in order to readjust their procedures, they have a requirement that by June 1st of 2017, all of their NOIs will have to be provided to us for any enrollee that's coming in. And so then by June 1st, 2017, all third parties will automatically providing us the NOI as well as the fee as part of the enrollment process. And that's really what the resolution does. Staff recommends adoption of order number R12017, tax 0012.
Thank you, Josh.
And board questions.
Board member Justy, thank you, Mr. Norton. Thanks, Josh. Very, very clear and concise. I think we all appreciate that. In the list of things that are included as public records, two things that you did mention that I'd like to know: is personal information considered a public record, and is site location or gross site location considered public information? Will that be available?
So personal information, that's a broad term, so I'm not sure exactly. Like the name of the discharger, yes. So the name of the discharger would be public information, and the grow site, the parcel where the grow is, would be public information. What might not be is if they list a home address to get their mail that's not on the grow site, that could be redacted. That wouldn't necessarily be a public information.
So essentially, any agriculturalist, whether it's a nursery or a field crop or anybody that engages with a government agency for one permit or another, all that information is available. So this is really treating access to information for cannabis like we would for any other commercial commodity.
That's my understanding.
So we thank you for the presentation and resolution. So we have talked about putting a or getting a form together that people who want access to that fill out a form for public request. Are we working on that?
Yes, I think Board Member Grant, I thought that was a very good idea. As mentioned, Public Record Act requests can come in many forms, and we have to accept them in whatever form they come, but creating a more streamlined process for folks so that it is easier to get that makes a lot of sense, and that was a really good recommendation, so we'll definitely take that back.
Yeah, that'll help the cannabis. And then how many current third-party enrollees are there that you will get by June 2017?
The
existing ones, how many do you see flowing in?
Yeah, so it's a little under 50% of our enrollments. We were at 1,500 enrollments a month and a half ago. We have 200 and something more that have come in from our recent enrollment enforcement efforts. So I don't know how many of those gone one together, but it's a little under 50%.
Okay.
So it's a good significant number of
Josh, and the remainder, those that aren't coming through a third-party program, did they come in with that information in them anyway? So they're just coming in to the 5550 Skyline Boulevard?
Yes, correct. Yeah, they come in directly to us for the notice of intent to enroll, so we get that information already.
Let me ask, too, the state of California has moved, including this agency, has moved more towards a paperless process, and in fact has posted quite a lot of information for different programs onto web-based programs, whether it be GeoTracker for landfills and leaking tank sites, whether it be ViroStore, which DTSC uses similarly, whether it be Gamma Data, there's quite a lot of it, CWIX data. Do you foresee at some point, I know State Board is working on a state permit potentially for cannabis, do you foresee that it goes the next step further and becomes a web-based program with GIS-type information on it?
Absolutely, that is our one of our primary goals. The online enrollment, I think, is going to happen. I would say less than a year because of that state process. I think that's going to roll out with an online enrollment process. That's the goal. But the GIS piece for us is key. We have to be able to look at enrollments watershed wide, to be able to look at cumulative impacts, address priorities. We do some of that already, but we're definitely working towards a much better system to do that. That's going to be key for us.
Yeah, you're certainly right. Your opening statement was things have vastly changed, and that's absolutely true. In 1 year, it's incredible how the landscape, both legal, public, and otherwise, has changed as it pertains to cannabis, and I expect it will continue to do so. Mr. John Corbin.
I wanted to make clear, you expressed some opinions as to general categories that would not be included under the Public Records Act or under CEQA accumulated impacts. And of course, one other reason we're doing this is to avoid aiding and abetting. My understanding is those are not part of this resolution. Those were the speculations of staff. Is that correct?
They're not listed in the resolution as a pertinent document.
Okay, and I just want to give a cautionary note that unless legal counsel says something isn't a public record, I would not represent that to the public. That you can express a personal opinion, I don't think it will be, but it's...
Those examples.
We had a huge fight whether this was a public record, and I don't want us to double down by doing it on the others. And it's an area where the Supreme Court recently went into emails as whether they're personal or public, so... It's a very tricky area of the law, and I think we're best off to avoid it and just stick with the resolution.
So those two examples were run by specifically through OCC and our legal counsel.
Okay, and I will ask them for the factual basis for what they did, because they're very broad categories.
So could you explain what those categories are, since we were part of that conversation?
I'm sorry, pardon?
Can you explain what those categories are that you...
Well, it was staff...
The two that I mentioned were a contract between the discharger and the third-party program, and the other one was communication between the two that were not related to program implementation.
So, yeah.
Yeah, so Corbett, just to respond to your concern about making general characterizations of what is and is not a public record, I agree that we need to be cautious with that because ultimately it's a case by case and we do need to evaluate whether something is a public record when a request comes in. The examples that Josh provided, I think, you know, maybe it could have been stated as generally speaking, these will not be considered public records.
Yeah. I just wanted us to be careful
yeah.
of speech and representation.
Sure. Thank you.
And that by passing this, the board has entered into that.
Thank you for that. Any other board questions for Josh? Thanks, Josh. We'll come back in a minute. I only have one speaker card, Mr. Ardecki. So if anybody else would like to address this item, there's speaker cards up here in the back. Come on up, Art.
Thanks.
Good morning.
Good morning, board. Is this working?
Yeah, it is.
Good morning, board and staff. My name is Art Dykey. I'm an environmental consultant. I'm based in Santa Rosa in Sonoma County. My comments tie together really items 3 and 4, and this has to do with the public access of information in order to help dischargers comply and show compliance with this order in order to obtain permits at the local jurisdictional level. Currently, it's for industrial stormwater, construction stormwater, WDIDs are issued, which would show which shows enrollment, doesn't show compliance. In Sonoma County, the Ag Commissioner will require you to demonstrate compliance with this order. The way to be able to demonstrate that is not that this goes towards that, but it doesn't actually connect it. So staff, as far as I know, is going to have to provide some type of communications directly to all the counties, which item 4 goes through very thoroughly, with many of them requiring this permit before you can actually get your local permit, which then is required to get your state permit. And so what I'm proposing is we find a more robust way to show enrollment in the permit and compliance in the permit so it can be quickly and efficiently communicated to the local jurisdiction so they can show compliance at this point. Then the second thing I'd like to point out is as we move this third-party program away from the privacy issues because they really can't be provided, and we start looking at what the intent maybe of this permit was at the time, this third party was at the time, was to provide, and this is from talking to staff and the stakeholders in the industry, was to provide a consultant list of qualified, certified personnel that could actually assist the regional board with this and actually provide the dischargers a service where maybe possibly they were not getting that service from others before that. So, you know, the industrial general permit has a certification program. The construction general permit has a certification program. Professional engineers, other professionals have licenses and qualifications that have codes of conduct, have accountability in them that I'm just wondering is the next evolution with this third-party program is it may not be necessary at all. It's just a matter. And then to that point, in the Central Valley, the only other regional board that has a permit program, theirs isn't a waiver. Theirs is actually WDRs. They don't have a third-party program, and you have to actually get your permit at the local jurisdiction before you get your permit at the state level with the regional board. And there's a list of consultants, but it's up to the discharger to figure out who they can actually get to help them with this. So those are my points that I wanted to make on this.
Hey Art, can I walk you back for a minute? So
yeah.
To me, there's a difference between enrollment and compliance.
Yeah.
Because NLI gets you in the door, gets you into a process. It has minimum conditions set. This is a tiered order, so it has potentially things to do depending upon where you're at in the order, including preparation of plans and that type of nature, and maybe even corrective action for certain sites. And those take time, evaluation, effort. And what I hear you say is that through the county ordinance, perhaps, and correct me if I'm wrong here, that to be in compliance with a county or a local ordinance, you're looking not only for, or not you, there is a requirement then for not only enrollment, but compliance then with the order at the North Coast Board, is that correct?
And I'm only speaking at Sonoma County.
It's okay.
That. So, and so the compliance issue is even difficult with the stormwater and construction, because the WID is what a lot of the local jurisdictions actually require. Sometimes they require the stormwater plan to be part of their package, but yeah, the compliance piece was going to be up to the local jurisdiction to decide how they demonstrate that. But the NOI for this program is actually fairly comprehensive, which includes a monitoring plan, site maps, water usage, aerial issues. You know, a lot of things that aren't typically in the NOIs. But this one is a little bit more robust.
But again, compliance versus enrollment. Yeah. Compliance is in actions, and actions that come forth after, as part of the living and breathing body of permit, and actions that come with that. I mean, you're a consultant like me, and I mean, stormwater's that way. You enroll in a stormwater project, say industrial or construction, and you go out and do it, check, verify, amend, you know, and do your job, and make sure that that site lives through that process. But the action of enrollment does not then automatically mean compliance. And so I'm interested, and we'll take this up in the next agenda item, I believe, is that the compliance piece, depending upon when that requirement comes, to show that, because the thing that's, the interesting part of this is that the regional board, in the grand experiment that's going on here, went forth and did an order. We were first, one of the first, and this order, has been, I think, a stalwart part of the beginning of a process, and yet these other processes are going around it. What I hear from you is there needs to be some semblance of integration and cross-checking so that it realizes that there is a building and varied landscape out here about what compliance is and how these things are accepted into other programs besides this order, right? Your local ordinance, per se.
So, for example, the NOI has several compliance pieces to it. First, you've submitted your NOI. Second, have you paid your fee? And then, if it's tier two, do you need a water resource protection plan? It's not required to submit that plan at the time of submitting the NOI,
right,
but you're required to put down when you'll submit it. So then, if it's past that point, that's another compliance piece. And then if you're outside of that and you have your water resource protection plan, then that's just simply they can require that to be given. And so there's a lot of compliance points that they can use without actually going to the site.
Okay.
Yeah.
I very much appreciate the point of view and the wisdom that comes with you. I know you've been working on this front, and it is a dynamic process that's being built around this through many layers, not only this order, but then things that are around it and downstream of it and things that I would better to come.
Yeah. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I just want to follow up on something that Art raised. This might be a question for Josh, but then to follow your line of logic, sir. You raise a good point. There are some professions in California, for example, you can't call yourself a forester unless you're a registered professional forester. You're an RPF. Geologists are the same. Maybe even engineers. That's getting outside of my discipline. But the notion that even arborists, it's a self-certification program, but a certified arborist is a way to recognize somebody that goes through continuing education, has meet certain minimum requirements. I don't want to get too far afield here, sir, but I think you raise a good point that in these third-party programs, and if we're after compliance, Who is qualified out there to say, yes, you are now compliant, move forward? And just a point to think about, it may be to the benefit of the private sector for those folks providing this kind of service to think about a certification program that raises the bar, has a level of expectation, a certain threshold of professionalism that can be brought to addressing water quality compliance, that you could then go to vineyardists or orchardists. I mean, it's a bigger picture than just cannabis. But I didn't want to lose that point. I thought you raised a really valid point, Art, and I think it's worth thinking about.
Can I make a comment back?
Sure.
So this permit is quite different from the industrial permit and the construction permit in that the certifications are very narrow for those permits. With this permit, with this order, there's actually many different aspects of it: roads, biology, trees, where you need specific and certified individuals to assist you with the other permits. You may need a professional engineer at some point, and you have to recognize that. So in some aspects, this requires more of a project manager to recognize when there are certain professional certifications needed to assist with getting the discharger into compliance. And that's what makes this one a little bit more complicated.
Thank you, Art.
Thank you.
All right, I have no other speaker cards. Can I call you back up, Mr. Josh, and see if you've got any comments or questions, anything to note on that conversation, or that you would like to add?
I think we've just started actually discussing that similar possibility. I think it was yesterday or 2 days ago that I first approached that discussion with Kason about, you know, what the future of a third-party program might be, especially in light of the changes that are occurring statewide. And, you know, I think that some sort of certification process is an interesting idea, and I think that it's something we should look at, because we definitely find a large benefit with our third-party programs. You know, we know the scale of this industry and what we need to tackle, and you couldn't probably give me enough staff to manage this all by ourselves, and so they're a huge force multiplier for us. And so, I think that we could. I don't want to lose their capability, but that capability could shift and change on how it's run in the future, and I'd be okay with that.
I wanted you to clarify. I believe the state board draft, so it's of course subject to change, or doesn't even exist yet, has in it language that allows the third-party certification of the North Coast Regional Board as it's currently written. Is that correct?
So we've seen no draft. I don't think there's. We shouldn't probably talk about it because it's still very internal.
Are they aware of the issue in the draft?
They're aware of the issue. We will push that issue because it's important to us. So the staff will bring that up consistently.
Okay.
Can I? In the Central Valley, there's nutrient management programs.
In the Central Valley, there's nutrient management programs, and they've chosen to use certified crop advisors as their third-party certifiers, or certified agronomists, or soil scientists. And so there are groups out there that might be able to participate now.
Thank you.
Thank you, Hector. Well, you're right, Josh. This is a very narrow agenda item. We got a little further afield than we, as we tend to do. But this is a narrow and concise agenda item, and I appreciate it. I don't have any other speaker cards. I'll close the public dialogue here. Any other comments or questions from the board? Okay, looking for.
I'll move the motion. I want to thank staff for being flexible enough to accept the board's direction that we needed clarification that they are public records. And I think this is a good response to that, and I appreciate it.
Second. Patty, would you please call the roll?
Absolutely. Board Member Bedoya.
Aye.
Board Member Minton.
Aye.
Chairman Noren.
Aye.
Board Member Corbett.
Aye.
Board Member Gant.
Aye.
Board Member Justine.
Aye.
All right. Thank you very much. We're going to seamlessly